Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
It's launch day as Jeff Bezos is set to head to space. Plus, after Monday's drop on the Dow, are there any signs of a rebound? And a look at some of the nation's top housing markets and the obstacles facing them.
Affordability for both renters and prospective home buyers is really becoming a growing challenge.
It's Tuesday, July 20th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is planning to fly to space today when he blasts off from West Texas with his company Blue Origin. The 11-minute flight will be the first launch with passengers on the company's new Shepard rocket. Bezos will be joined by his brother Mark, longtime aviator Wally Funk, who is 82 years old, and Dutch teenager Oliver Damon. And the company has bigger ambitions than space tourism. The Journal's Michael Maidenberg has more.
Blue Origin is looking to serve the sort of big classic customers, if you will, in space. So we're talking about NASA, we're talking about the Air Force, you know, maybe some other Pentagon agencies with a focus on space. For example, Blue Origin was part of a team that last year was working on a design for NASA's moon lander, which could take folks back to the moon as soon as 2024. They didn't win that contract award, but it sort of is an indicator, you know, of their interest in working on high profile, you know, NASA missions.
We have more on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing, and you can follow today's launch on WSJ.com. We're reporting exclusively Comcast CEO Brian Roberts met with Viacom CBS chairman Sherry Redstone in recent weeks to discuss a potential streaming partnership for international markets. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The partnership talks come as both Comcast and Viacom CBS are preparing to expand their streaming services in markets around the world. Thousands of lawsuits related to the opioid crisis are expected to be settled this week for as much as $26 billion. That's according to people familiar with the matter. A number of drug distributors and manufacturers have spent years negotiating a settlement for the lawsuits brought by state and local governments who blame them for helping fuel the nation's opioid epidemic. New York could announce a $1 billion settlement to resolve some of its claims today, according to people familiar with the matter. And a federal judge has ruled that Indiana University may require students to submit proof they've been vaccinated against COVID-19 before returning to campus this fall. In his ruling, the judge said the university system acted reasonably to protect public health. There are limited medical and religious exemptions. The case is among the first to tackle the constitutionality of COVID-19 vaccine requirements at public universities. An attorney representing the students said he would appeal. Looking ahead at today's earnings calendar, United Airlines will report after the closing bell. We'll also hear from other companies, including Chipotle, Netflix, and Ally Financial. Let's look ahead. After Monday's decline on Wall Street, as we talked about last night on the podcast, the Dow fell more than 700 points, its worst session since October. Joining me from London is WSJ News editor Jim Wilhite. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
All right, so Jim, there is anxiety surrounding the Delta coronavirus variant and its potential impact on the global economy, as we have seen. What could traders be looking for today?
Well, as of early this morning, U.S. stock futures were rising, suggesting Wall Street could stage a partial recovery. Though at this stage, it looks like it would only be a partial recovery after yesterday's considerable drop. It wasn't really a surprise either where the big losses came from. It was oil companies and airlines, for instance, were some of the big losers, and places that could suffer if the Delta variety becomes a bigger deal. But Treasury yields this morning are also slightly up, so that suggests that some investors are tiptoeing away from the safety of government bonds.
James, this is a global concern. As far as markets outside of the U.S., how did things fare in Asia, for example?
Asian markets are broadly lower today, though it's nothing like what happened yesterday in the U.S. The biggest drop in Asia was mostly Japan, which the Nikkei was down about 1%, which is, you know, a lot less than what happened on Wall Street. And European shares out of the gate this morning are trading broadly higher, also sort of following the idea of a recovery. The benchmark stocks Europe 600 was up close to 1% in early trading.
Okay, Jim Wilhite in London. Jim, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good day.
Just ahead, the cities across America that are attracting home buyers. We'll discuss after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
During the pandemic, we've seen the housing boom ignite in smaller and mid-sized cities. We've been tracking the growth in the Wall Street Journal Realtor.com Emerging Housing Market Index. The index identifies the top metro areas for home buyers seeking an appreciating housing market, but also appealing lifestyle amenities. Back in April, when the rankings debuted, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho was at the top of the list. Since then, a new city has emerged at the number one spot. Let's break things down further with WSJ real estate reporter Nicole Friedman. She joins me from New York. Nicole, I'm glad you're here. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So, Nicole, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is no longer number one. Tell me what's changed.
Yes. So we have a updated ranking, and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho has been bumped down to the number two spot. And the new number one emerging housing market is Billings, Montana. So a couple of changes have occurred since the last quarter's ranking. The biggest change is that we now incorporate real estate taxes into the index. And so there is a new factor to consider, which is kind of the relative real estate tax rate of these different areas. And that bumped down some markets in places like the Northeast and in Texas, and it pushed other markets up. And then just in the past quarter, the economy has really improved. And so some cities have also really benefited from just big changes in lower unemployment and higher wages that have helped push some cities up the rankings as well.
You know, it seems like not only are these small metro areas in competition with the big coastal cities, but they're also in competition with each other for things like jobs and wages.
Definitely. And one thing that we've really seen in the past year is the rise of remote working has freed a lot of people to really think, if I didn't have to live near my job, where would I want to live? And some people have suddenly had the freedom to live anywhere they want. And so I have definitely talked to home buyers who said, you know, we considered cities in multiple states or multiple metro areas across a whole region because we had this open options, much more open than it's ever been before.
So, Nicole, what are the challenges ahead? What could cause problems for these fast-growing housing markets?
So in every part of the country right now with this housing boom, the biggest challenge is affordability, and house prices are rising extremely quickly. And that is making it really tough for first-time buyers, for buyers who don't have a lot of upfront cash for a down payment. And certainly in a lot of these booming cities, especially some of the smaller ones, there's also not a lot of supply on the rental market. And so affordability for both renters and prospective home buyers is really becoming a growing challenge.
And Nicole, the Emerging Housing Market Index is constantly being updated. As we look ahead, what are the things that you're going to be watching for?
So I think the big question in the months ahead is going to be how much continued remote working we see. A lot of people in the past year had the ability to work remotely and expected to be able to do that in the future and made changes to where they lived because of it. But now more companies are going back to the office or calling workers back or expecting them to at least show up to the office on occasion. And so it really remains to be seen how much people will kind of stop making these remote work-driven moves and whether that starts to harm some of these smaller metro areas that have really benefited from that trend.
Nicole Friedman in New York. Nicole, as always, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
OneNote News Corp parent of the Wall Street Journal operates Realtor.com. And finally, we've heard of the Airbnbs and Vrbos of the world, but what about rentals for backyard swimming pools? One company called Swimply has been making a splash this year by allowing those lucky enough to have a pool to rent them out to local swimmers. Business boomed during the pandemic as public pools closed and people sought to make extra cash or safely gather after months of lockdown. According to the company, hosts are earning between $5,000 and $10,000 a month on average. One couple told us by the end of the summer, they will have earned over $100,000. And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. With many earnings expected today, we'll keep you posted on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.